Punks vs. Zombies by John Cronshaw, Episode 25, Chapter 52. Jared led Tommy and the others to the dining hall, a rustic log cabin structure at the back of the compound. Inside, long wooden tables with benches filled the space. People milled about, finding seats while a handful of women in pale robes carried steaming dishes from the kitchen. Eleanor sat at the head table and rose with fluid grace to greet them. "Welcome, friends. Please come in. We're so pleased to share this meal with you." Tommy and the others shuffled forward. "Smells great," Nick said. "Can't beat a proper home-cooked meal." Tommy's group found seats at one of the long tables. Layla edged in close beside him. Mickey sat drumming his fingers on the table. Eleanor lifted her hands and the hall fell silent. "Let us give thanks to creation for this meal and for new friends joining our community." She threw her head back, her eyes squeezed shut. The other Haven members followed suit, heads back, eyes closed. Tommy wasn't sure where to look. "Please eat." Eleanor gestured to the spread of root vegetables and stewed greens. Jimbo wasted no time piling his plate high. Tommy and the others followed suit with more restraint. The residents ate in a slow manner, chewing each bite thoroughly with eyes closed. Across from Tommy, Jimbo scooped up a potato and stuffed it in his mouth. "Now that's the good stuff." A few Haven members shot him irritated glances. Jimbo gulped his food and chuckled. "You people need to lighten up a little." When no one cracked a smile, Jimbo shook his head. "Ah, come on, don't leave me hanging. Hey, why don't zombies eat ghosts?" He paused. "'Cause they taste like sheet. Get it?" Again, only stony silence answered. "What, too soon?" Across the table, Mickey put his head in his hands with a groan. "In Haven, we do not make light of the fallen," Eleanor said. "Death is never a joking matter." "Got it, boss dude." Jimbo shoveled more food into his mouth. After the meal, Eleanor rose again for a speech. "My friends, let us give thanks again for this meal and this community." Her followers gazed up in silent reverence. "As I prophesized, our world may be shattered, but Haven endures." Her voice swelled with conviction. "There is still hope, still light within each of us, if we stand united as one." Murmurs of assent rippled around the room. Tommy shifted awkwardly on his seat. "We must nurture that light, tend to it, and with creation's blessings we keep it burning bright." Eleanor's intensity increased. "The darkness will try to smother it, but together we are strong. Creation is strong." A few residents nodded and slapped their hands down on the tables. "United we will prevail. Take strength from those around you. Draw comfort from—" A crash cut her off as someone at a nearby table knocked over a pitcher of water. Liquid ran across the floorboards. The man froze, face draining of color, and held up his hands. "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry." Eleanor's expression hardened for a moment before shifting back to calm assurance. "It's all right. Just an accident." She gestured for someone to clean up the spill. The man kept apologizing. A neighbor laid a hand on his shoulder, steering him back to his seat. Tommy met Layla's eyes, seeing his own unease reflected there. He noticed Nick's engaged in hushed conversation with the people at the next table, while Zero eyed the other Haven members. Jimbo broke the silence. "So hey, crazy speech and all, but you got to admit, this place has kind of a real join our cult vibe going on. I mean, the robes, the candles, the devotion to Eleanor." Stunned silence, then outraged murmurs. Eleanor's piercing eyes fixed Jimbo. Jimbo gave a weak chuckle. "What, too far?" "I believe it is time for our guests to retire for the evening. Jared, please show them to their quarters." Tommy and the others rose amidst scornful looks from the Haven members. "Way to go, man. First your dumb jokes, now this." Nix nudged Jimbo's ribs as they made for the exit. "Read the room." "Sorry, dude. I just get real twitchy when people start with the religious crap." "Freaking idiots, both of you." Roxy quickened her pace as they left the hall. Layla grabbed Tommy's arm, leaning in close. "This place is seriously messed up. We need to get out of here." "Don't worry, we're leaving at first light." Tommy picked up speed. "I hate to say it, but I think Zero was right." Chapter 53. Tommy sank down on an empty bed and sighed. The others filed into the bunk room after him. "Holy crap," Jimbo said. "And here I thought my family reunions were awkward." Mickey paced back and forth. "This place is all kinds of wrong. We've got to ditch this scene tonight." For once I agree with the junkie, Zero kept his voice low. These Haven freaks mean business. Nyx nodded. I know I said we should give this place a chance, but it's clear now that was a bad call. He turned to Tommy. What do you think, T? Slip out once everyone's asleep? Tommy raked a hand through his hair, mind racing. Every instinct screamed at him to flee. I don't think we can risk carrying on through the mountains in the dark. Our best bet is to wait it out until first light. He met each of their eyes in turn. We grab what supplies we can carry, then make our way to the vehicles and go. With luck, no one will notice until we're already on the road. And if our luck sucks and they do notice? Jimbo asked. Tommy's jaw set. We make sure it doesn't come to that. Roxy crossed her arms. I don't know, Tommy. These people are hardcore. What if they try to stop us? Why would they? I'm sure they'll be glad to see the back of us, especially Jimbo. Jimbo grinned, but Roxy shook her head. Something Eleanor said concerns me. Tommy sniffed. A lot of what she said concerns me. No, remember when she was doing that prayer thing? Yeah, so? Remember when she said about new friends joining our community? Zero sniffed, joining being the operative word. I'm sure she didn't mean join. I'm sure she meant join like, I don't know, join me on stage for a song, or something. Zero and Roxy glared at him. So naive, Tommy boy. Zero shook his head. Roxy's right, they want us for their cult. That's ridiculous, Tommy said. You saw how they reacted to Jimbo. You really think they'd want a bunch of punks hanging around killing the vibe here? As servants? Why not? Zero smirked. You ever hear of mind control? MK Ultra? Tommy squeezed the bridge of his nose. Fine. We get what we need quietly, then get back to the vans. Grab supplies. No confrontation. Mickey ceased his pacing. Okay, so we sneak out at sunrise then. What do we need? Food and water, Roxy said. Maybe meds or ammo if we can find it. I can grab some tools, Nyx said. Might prove handy on the road. Tommy shook his head. Not sure about that. Let's keep it light. Grab only essentials. We'll be quicker that way. He glanced outside at the blackness enshrouding the compound. Night had fallen swiftly in the mountains, swallowing up the last traces of dusk. Everyone try to get some rest while you can. We'll make our move before dawn. The others murmured agreement, moving to claim beds. The day's stresses had exhausted them. One by one, they settled onto the thin mattresses. Soon the sounds of soft breathing filled the room as they slipped into restless slumber. Tommy remained seated on the edge of his cot, every muscle taut. Sleep eluded him. He sat hunched in the darkness, thoughts racing as he mentally retraced their journey since the Gilman. The horrors they had endured flickered through his mind. Kim's gruesome transformation, Dee's sacrifice, Spike. Then there were thoughts of Neve and Sean. Were they even still alive? Gripped by dread, Tommy pictured returning to find them gone. Just two more casualties in this nightmarish new world. The not knowing. The guilt. It was a weight that at any moment could be too much to bear. Can't sleep either, huh? He started at Roxy's voice. This place gives me the creeps, she said. That weirdness at dinner didn't help. I'm thinking we should start making a move. What time is it? Tommy shrugged. Early, late, depends who you ask, I guess. Come with me? Okay, but let's keep this between us. No need to wake the others yet. Tommy nodded and pulled on his jacket. All right, let's see what we can find. Tommy and Roxy slipped out of the dormitory into the moonlit night. Where do we start? Roxy asked. The less used areas. We know they've got food and weapons. Let's just try not to get ourselves caught. Hugging the timber walls, Tommy and Roxy crept through the compound. They paused as a robed sentry passed, gripping his rifle. At the edge of the compound, they came across a small hut hidden in the shadows. Tommy noted the heavy bolt securing the door from the outside. He gestured for Roxy to keep watch, then shifted the bolt and eased the door open. The stench hit him first, putrid and cloying. Gagging, he covered his nose and peered inside. Shadowy figures lay on bare mattresses in the gloom. Some were deathly still, while others shifted fitfully, their breathing wet and ragged. The sickly sweet reek of disease hung thick in the air. Tommy reeled back, bile rising in his throat. What's wrong? Roxy leaned past to look, then recoiled with a choked gasp. Oh, Jesus, are they? Tommy squinted and shook his head. I don't think so. I think they've just been left here to die. Roxy grabbed his arm. We have to tell the others. Steeling himself, Tommy eased open the door once more. The full force of the stench hit him, so strong his eyes watered. Suppressing the urge to retch, he scanned the gloom. One skeletal figure crawled towards them, rags hanging off his emaciated frame. Water. Please. I'm so sorry, we'll come back for you. We have to go now, Roxy yanked him back. Shouts sounded outside. Tommy fled into the night on Roxy's heels. They didn't stop running until they reached the dormitory. Roxy stared down at her shaking hands. Those poor people, just left to die. Her voice quavered. What kind of leader does that? Tommy shook his head. I'm going to find her. Tommy, no. Stay here, I'll be back soon. Before Roxy could protest, Tommy raced into the shadowy compound. Jaw clenched, he searched for any sign of Eleanor, peeking into dark buildings and scanning the moonlit paths. At last, he spotted a faint glow coming from the dining hall. He approached the window and peered inside. Eleanor sat alone at a table, embroidering by candlelight. He shoved open the doors, storming up to her table. How could you just abandon those people to die? Eleanor regarded him for several seconds before placing her embroidery down. Sometimes difficult choices must be made for the greater good. Letting people suffer alone, that's for the greater good? Eleanor's eyes narrowed. Our resources are limited. As leader, I must protect the strong. Tommy shook his head. You're no leader, you're a monster. We're leaving tonight and we're taking anyone who wants to join us. You know nothing of the world out there. Remain here or you will not survive. We'll take that risk. Chapter 54. Tommy turned and ran. He had to warn the others. Racing through the compound, he burst into the dormitory. The others jerked awake, confusion morphing to alarm as Tommy explained what he and Roxy had seen. It's true, Roxy said. She left them to die. Eleanor claims it's necessary to protect resources. Tommy paced back and forth. We need to get out of here now. That's barbaric, Layla said. I knew this place was messed up. Zero got to his feet. How many times do I need to warn you, Tommy boy, before you start listening? Not now, dude. Jimbo patted Zero's back. Let's grab our stuff and bounce. As the others hastily packed, Tommy met Roxy's eyes. Nix hoisted his bag. So what's the plan, T? Storm out guns blazing? No, we move fast and quiet. Within minutes, they were assembled by the door. Tommy took a deep breath. Stay close. We're getting out of this hellhole. Without glancing back, Tommy slipped into the night. Stay together. Get to the vans quickly and quietly. The group made it to the edge of Haven unseen. Their van sat waiting beyond the gates. We should get those people, Tommy said. No, Zero said. There's no room and we need to leave. But let's not make this an argument, eh, Tommy boy? They hurried to the towering iron gates securing the compound's perimeter. Tommy gripped the cold bars and rattled them, but the gates held fast. It's locked tight, we'll have to climb over. Allow me. Jimbo cracked his knuckles. He hoisted himself up and was starting to scale the gate when shouts rang out behind them. Tommy whirled to see Eleanor striding towards them, flanked by armed guards. His heart sank. Leaving so soon? Eleanor said. We want no part of this place, Tommy said. I cannot allow you to expose what you have witnessed here. Eleanor nodded to her guards. Get them out of my sight. The guards advanced, weapons raised. Tommy shrank back, trapped against the gates. Nick stepped forward, eyes blazing. You can't keep the truth buried forever. Eleanor's eyes narrowed. I cannot allow anyone to expose what they have seen here. Her enforcer seized Nick before anyone could react, twisting his arm behind his back. Nick cried out in pain. Get off him, Layla said. This man poses a threat to our community. Eleanor nodded at the nearest guard. Do it. A gunshot rang out. Nix crumpled lifeless to the ground. A gaping hole in the back of his head oozed blood onto the dirt. For a moment, no one moved. Then Layla let out a primal scream and lunged for the guard who had fired. She clawed at his face and eyes. Caught off guard, he staggered back with a yelp. The others charged the remaining guards in a frenzy. Jimbo barreled into one, knocking him flat on his back. Roxy grabbed the rifle off the fallen guard and bashed another across the head, sending him sprawling. Zero wrestled a rifle away from a guard and swung the stock hard, catching the man's jaw with a crack. Teeth and blood flew as the guard collapsed. Tommy grappled hand to hand with a burly guard, trading punches before getting the upper hand and slamming the man's head against the gatepost. The guard slumped over, out cold. In the chaos, Mickey slipped behind Eleanor and pressed his fingers to her back, feigning a pistol. Call them off or you die. Do as they say, stand down. Weapons on the ground now. Zero aimed the rifle at Eleanor's head. The guards lowered their firearms and kicked them away. Tommy swept his gaze over the disarmed men. Which one of you can open the gate? The one he recognized as Jared raised a trembling hand. Eleanor gave him a curt nod, and he moved to the gates, fumbling with the keys. The heavy gates creaked open. Come on, let's go, Roxy said. She turned to run, but Zero grabbed her arm. We're taking Nyx with us. His jaw was set, eyes hard. Roxy blinked. But Nyx is... I know damn well he's dead, Zero snapped. But we're not leaving him here. Tommy and Jimbo exchanged a nod. They hurried to Nyx's body and lifted him with some effort, straining under the dead weight. They loaded him into the back of the Minx van, while Zero and Roxy covered them. Tommy's throat tightened as he took one last look at Nyx's lifeless face before shutting the doors. Roxy handed her rifle to Layla and jumped into the driver's seat of her van, cranking the ignition. Zero backed towards the open gate, keeping Eleanor and her guards pinned down at gunpoint. Tommy leapt into his own van, the engine rumbling to life. In the passenger seat, Layla kept the door half open, rifle aimed at their enemies. Go! Go! Tires squealing, Tommy floored the gas and tore into the night. To be continued. Please subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes. To find out more about John Cronshaw and his work, visit johncronshaw.com. Punks vs. Zombies is copyright John Cronshaw and Wyvern Books Limited. All rights reserved. This is a work of fiction. People, businesses, and places are entirely fictional or used in a fictional way.